Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
Hey there, Shirley listeners. This is Jeff Johnson from A Film By Podcast, reminding you, to survive a war, you have to become a war. This week, it's the box office battle of 1985 we've been waiting for. Graves, Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Colvin. Oil up your muscles and grab that machine gun, because it's Rambo, First Blood Part 2 versus Commando, with a final judgment that will be anything but expendable. Come on, listeners. Let's party.
All right, D, remember when I said in an intro for this episode?
Yeah, you said you had an intro for this episode.
I lied. Welcome back, everybody, to the Shirley Can't Be Serious podcast. This is part two of the Commando versus Rambo. It's the summer of 1985. We have action. We have Stallone. We have Schwarzenegger. We have rockets and grenades and exploding arrows. It was an amazing time to be alive.
Silent arrows.
Silent, not so silent arrows.
Yeah, right. If you are joining us for the first time, we've got one episode before this one where we're comparing these two movies, talked about the origin stories of the movies and casting for Rambo, and now we're on to casting for Commando.
Absolutely.
So we got Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Who is that?
What? Yeah. $2 million you get paid for this one. He was up and coming. And, you know, you talked about Stallone being at the top of the mountain and his objective was to take over. He absolutely did. Like, once you get into the 90s, especially with that little undercut move of Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, which that put a serious damper on Stallone's career for the next decade at least.
I heard Stallone talk about it. He said when Schwarzenegger shifted into science fiction, that's when he left him in the dust.
By the way, go check out the 30-something podcast where we co-hosted with the 30-something guys on Total Recall. Great episode, though. I love it. Yeah.
Total Recall.
Love those guys.
Yeah.
By the way, also, what did he get, like $20 million? Like, he went from $2 million in 1985 to $20 million in, what was it, 97 when he did Batman and Robin?
We're going to talk about that movie.
We are going to talk about Bat Nipples and Superman Stalkers on the What the Heck Happened.
What the Heck Happened. Batman and Robin versus Superman Returns. Mm-hmm. What the Heck Happened. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it will.
Freeze.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I do think it's important to mention, we've lived with him for so long. People forget this guy had three incredibly successful careers. He was Mr. Olympia several times. I mean, one of the greatest bodybuilders of all time.
Yep.
He was an action star, maybe the greatest action star of all time.
Certainly highest paid action star, for sure.
Right. And they don't just let anybody become governor of California
either. No, you have to win that.
I mean, three incredibly different, but ultra successful careers for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty amazing guy.
So he's involved in a couple of things that become a franchise, right?
Okay.
You've got this movie Commando that comes out. How is there not a Commando 2? How is there never a Commando 2?
Hold on to your butts. You ready for this?
Okay. Yeah.
There is a sequel to Commando.
What?
And you've seen it a million times.
What is it?
Well, technically, it's not really a sequel to Commando, but it was written as a sequel to Commando.
You're not going to say Die Hard.
Die Hard. Steven D'Souza wrote Die Hard as a sequel to Commando. They tried to bring Arnold Schwarzenegger back. He was doing other things, couldn't do it. And then,
after they tried to get Frank Sinatra to do it.
Frank Sinatra, do you want to do this? No, okay, we're moving on. Schwarzenegger, Burt Reynolds, Richard Gere, Don Johnson, the guy who plays MacGyver, he turned it down. And they grabbed Bruce Willis and gave us maybe the best movie of the 80s. One of the best movies of the
80s. Top three.
Go back and check out our Die Hard versus Lethal Weapon.
So D'Souza, he didn't write the original script for Die Hard. He was the rewrite guy for
Die Hard. He was the rewrite guy. That's true.
And so I can see him maybe having sort of the character in mind as he wrote it, but obviously it was based on an old book that Frank Sinatra had been, I'm going to call BS on that. This was that Die Hard was a sequel to Commando.
according to my notes,
yeah,
that's the truth.
That's what the internets tell you, along with Patrick Swayze was in the Roseanne
video. Don't destroy my Patrick Swayze dreams, right?
Okay. So, but I still go back to how was there not actually just a Commando 2?
There should have been, except for he was in such demand. I just don't think he had time for it.
So Mark Lester is the guy who directed Commando, right?
Yes.
Talked about that a little bit. By the way, I didn't mention he got the directing job because he ran into Joel Silver at the Playboy Mansion.
That's where deals get done. They were both in their pajamas at the time, right? Which I'm not sure if that's entirely true too.
Right. So he had done virtually nothing before this. And then I showed you his last like six movies. The top rank on IMDb was something like a 4.2. The most recent one was a 2.5. And somehow he pulls this one out.
So he did Firestarter.
Right. That was his big.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
Stephen King's story right before this.
Right.
He does Commando, and then he does like Poseidon Rex.
Poseidon Rex was the one that came out like a year or two ago. I cannot believe that it was not an Oscar contender.
Well, and part of the reason why they were able to greenlight this story is D'Souza was on board. He could make it happen. And the studio said, if you can do it for $10 million or less, we'll greenlight it right now.
Right.
Well, $2 million off the top goes to Arnold. Mm-hmm. And so who do we want to direct this? Nobody expensive. This dude in his pajamas right here. Okay, you got the job.
Well, I guess he knew how to do explosions from Firestarter, right? And yeah. That's what this movie was about.
Why not?
Yeah.
All right. So as Cindy, we have Radon Chong.
Could you tell me what this is all about?
Yeah, a guy I trusted for years wants me dead.
It's understandable. I've only known you for 5 minutes and I want you dead too.
Did you know, and I know you know, she's Tommy Chong's daughter.
Yeah.
From Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
Man, I haven't seen these since 71, man.
Yeah, but $5, man.
Was that a Dead concert?
I imagine there's a few people still out there who don't know that, but.
Yeah. No, it was new information to me a few years ago, but yeah, I was surprised. And it's kind of funny, you know, because in the you know, behind the scenes thing, or the, I guess they kind of were revisiting it because it looked like that it had been several years since the movie had been out. She keeps referring to all of the Mexicans and she's like, I don't want to sound racist, but you know, they were from Mexico. So, but then goes on to refer to them as little brown men multiple times.
All right. I thought it was interesting. She was brought on board to point out the absurdity. Her character is there going, oh my gosh, wow. What a rocket launcher. What are you going to tell me what's going on? You know,
no,
no.
By the way, her lines in the hotel room, whenever the fight is going on between Arnold Schwarzenegger and what's his name?
Bill Duke.
She wasn't actually there when they were fighting. They filmed that separately. And all of her lines about, you know, the much macho BS,
yeah.
It's total ad lib. She just ad libbed all of it, which really? Is perfect because that's exactly, you know, that is exactly what you need to have in a movie like this, is pointing out the absurdity of what's going on.
Sure. By the way, while we're here, Bill Duke, he plays Mac in Predator.
Right.
Man, he has a real quiet intensity.
Mm-hmm.
And he is tough. Radon Chong said he's very intimidating in real life, very scary.
Yeah.
And he's just, he kind of walked around and kind of growled.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
so, I ate green berets for breakfast.
Yeah. And that was a shot at Rambo.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah. Of course.
Because this green beret's going to kick your big ass.
I eat green berets for breakfast.
And right now I'm very hungry.
So, and Bill Duke goes on to do Predator with Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
I want to point out somebody else in that scene. Okay.
There is another couple of people in that scene. Yes.
So
it was the 80s.
It was the 80s. So you got to have at least one boob shot.
Gratuitous.
And so they go crashing through, and there is a couple in bed doing strange things because
there's a camera in the room. You probably didn't even notice, right? You've seen this movie a half a dozen times and you're so distracted.
There's a camera in the room.
They are videotaping what they are doing naked in the bed. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
So anyway, her name is Ava Cadell.
Oh, this is the actress.
The actress. Okay. The
gratuitous
actress.
She's
there for the jubblies, right?
Yep.
So she is actually a doctor in real life. She is a love therapist. I kid you not.
All right. Okay.
So
she was making a self-help tape is what she was doing at that moment.
Ava Cadell, love therapist. If you got
fantastic
trouble in your love life.
Okay. David Patrick Kelly.
He plays Sully.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's right, Major. You did.
I lied.
Yes.
Hey, remember when I told you I was going to kill you last? Yeah, Matrix, you did. I lied.
He said that this movie was lousy. And if if you don't know who he is, Warriors come out and play. Yeah. That's him.
He was also the bad guy in Dreamscape, if you remember that one.
I do not.
Dennis Quaid, Kate Capshaw.
He's been in a few things. I feel like we've talked about him before, too, but he didn't like this movie.
He was funny.
Well, and the director of the movie said, why don't you just hold him for real over the cliff? And Arnold is like, are you crazy? So he was actually attached to a crane. Like, I mean, yeah, sure, he can bench 450, but that's holding the grown man out by his leg over a cliff? No way.
Hey, speaking of David Patrick Kelly and Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think Gene Siskel asked him, like, you know, you pick him up in a telephone booth and chuck him around. And he's like, yes, I do. And he's like, was that heavy? He's like, I'm used to picking up heavy things. And he's only 165 pounds. To me, that was nothing.
Yeah.
All right. Alyssa Milano as Jenny.
Your father seemed to be cooperating. You will be together with him soon. Wouldn't that be nice?
Not nearly as nice as watching him kick your ass.
I had such a crush on her back in 1985. Hey. Watching Who's the Boss. They had just finished filming the first season of Who's the Boss.
Is that right?
When they started, yeah, when she got this part. Yeah, started filming this.
She looks sweet. She's wearing her Oshkosh Pagosh overalls. And, you know, she's just playing the little girl.
Yeah, and she does a great job.
She does a great job.
She's very believable.
Yes. In just 10 short years, she's making Embrace of the Vampire, which is...
Didn't have to go there. She was also in that witch TV series, whatever that was called.
Charmed.
That's right. Yeah.
There you go. All right. Dan Hedaya. He plays Arius.
Yeah. He's, if you don't know who that is, he's Nick Carla's husband, ex-husband.
Nick Tortelli
on Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nick Tortelli.
I believe him a lot more as Nick Tortelli than I do as a Latin American dictator. By the way, side note, the whole premise of the movie is he's been deposed by some other dictator.
I know.
And he has kidnapped Arnold's daughter as a ransom to make him go kill the dictator that deposed him. Jeez, guys, let's complicate the plot a little bit.
First of all, you've already hired Bennett for $100,000. Just have him go kill the dictator. You don't have to do all this stuff.
Right. Yeah. If Bennett is like his equal, why not just have him go do it? He was so scared of shooting the gun, even though it had blanks, that he like looks ridiculous. And then he gets killed in this very Tony Montoya end of Scarface style.
Yeah.
You mentioned before, you know where the fight takes place.
So the fight takes place at the Harold Lloyd Mansion, which we talked about in our Beverly Hills Cop episode.
Yep, same place.
The shootout at the very end of Beverly Hills Cop takes place at the exact same place. I think we talked about how Madonna lived in this house.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
At one point.
Yeah.
So, very famous house in the Hollywood area.
And that's mostly the interior shots, a few of the exteriors, but mostly the interiors. The exterior shots is the Hearst Castle in California.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Owned by the Hearst Corporation. Hearst was, you know, Patty Hearst.
Whoa.
That Hearst, right? The one that Citizen Kane was modeled after.
Okay.
They have a big, beautiful castle, and they were the only people who were willing to let them build buildings and blow them up like they did. I think they had a permit for a different place, but like at the last minute, the Coast Guard pulled it, which resulted in more budget overages.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, it made a profit, so it's not bad.
It did all right.
Yeah.
By the way, Dan Hedaya got the role as Arius. The director, Mark Lester, he wanted Raul Julia to play that part.
Right.
And he didn't get it, but later, Steven D'Souza, when he's directing Mortal Kombat, hired Raul Julia to be in that movie.
Very good. So, side note, he is the country that he is the deposed dictator of is Valverde. Right? The Green Valley.
Yes.
And that is like a place that appears in several Stephen E. D'Souza scripts.
Yeah.
It doesn't say it explicitly in Predator, but he has said that was my idea, is that it's taking place in Valverde, not a real place.
Okay.
It actually specifically mentions it in the Predator Hunting Grounds video game.
Okay.
Die Hard 2. The dictator that they're flying around is the dictator, the deposed dictator of Valverde again.
about that?
And since it's a made-up country, I was like, okay, it's 11 hours from LAX.
Yeah, you sent me this. This is fun.
And I was like, well, where could this be, right? And because we know that the guy who he kills, they don't discover he's dead until they arrive, right? So there's no layovers. Straight shot, and he says, it's 11 hours. By the way, as soon as I saw the watch pop up and him hit the time, and I was like, I love it. I love that you're giving us a timeline, a time crunch, you know, that it ups the suspense to know you've only got a certain amount of time.
You got 11 hours.
11 hours to hunt down and kill the man who kidnapped your daughter.
That's it.
Or else she's going to die. Love it. But I thought, okay, where is a place that's a Latin American country that would be about an 11-hour trip away?
Yep.
I'm thinking it's either Santiago, Chile. I thought it might have been Buenos Aires, but you can't get a one-way flight or a nonstop flight from LAX. And I thought it might have been Rio de Janeiro, but you can't get a nonstop flight from LAX to Rio either.
Wow.
Don't know if you could in 1985. So it seems like the most likely place that this is going to be Santiago, Chile. But he didn't list real places because he didn't want to have any political problems.
This is the type of research and information.
How nerdy I can get right here. Yep.
All right. Let's talk about Vernon Wells as Bennett for a second.
Let off some steam, Bennett.
Vernon Wells, who we also just got done talking about from Weird Science, because he was the, you know, the biker from hell.
You can't even take a shower with a beautiful woman.
And he's playing the exact same character that he played in Road Warrior.
The Road Warrior, right.
Yeah.
In fact, his character is named Wes in The Road Warrior. And when he gets on the boat at the very beginning, they're like, hey, what's up, Wes?
What do you say, Wes? Yep, I saw that. I was hoping I was going to get you with that one, but good job.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to me that his, obviously in Weird Science, he's got a mohawk, his head is shaved. And in this, he looks like
Freddie Mercury on steroids.
Yeah. He was hired after they fired the original guy.
Mm-hmm.
Wings Hauser was supposed to be Bennett.
Yeah.
But he and Lester didn't get along. And
Wings just passed away March. Just died.
There you go. They had already fitted him with the outfit.
Yeah.
And he's a smaller guy.
Yeah.
Which is why when Vernon Wells gets fitted when Vernon Wells puts on his old costume, it doesn't fit right. It looks tight and kind of makes him look tubby. And
yeah.
Because that was fitted for another actor.
Yeah, I can't even imagine Wells being any kind of fight against the mass of a man that is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right, right. You know, the thing is the first time I noticed that his sweater vest,
mm-hmm.
like I thought it was like chainmail.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's like crocheted. It's like yarn.
That's funny. That's great. Yeah, I totally thought it was chainmail too.
All right. We already talked about David Patrick Kelly. We talked about Bill Duke.
Yeah. Now, I mentioned this last episode, but Arnold Schwarzenegger was not the original person they had in mind when they started writing this movie. First was Gene Simmons.
Right.
Then it was Nick Nolte.
Right.
And ultimately, they landed on Arnold.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
I do want to mention you have Chelsea Field in this.
Yeah, she was in like Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren, right?
She played Tila in Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
She also played Bruce Willis's wife in The Last Boy Scout.
Okay.
So she was in a personal favorite movie of mine called Skin Deep with John Ritter. You remember the scene where the glow-in-the-dark rubbers are running around the room?
I have not seen that movie. Now that you've mentioned the glow-in-the-dark rubbers, I'm regretting that decision almost as much as regretting not watching these movies before.
Yes. Chelsea Field. She plays the stewardess, and she is majors.
Beautiful.
Yep. Also, did you recognize the intercept officer? The one who's like, you're going to have to turn around. We're going to shoot you down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's the guy. I can't believe it. No, so I'm watching that movie. I'm watching Commando, and I'm thinking, I know that guy. And not until you said it just now did I remember it. He is the guy in Die Hard who's like, send in the tanks. Send in the RV.
No.
Is he not the
guy? You're thinking of somebody else or it's a different guy.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. The intercept officer.
Go ahead. Yeah, intercept officer. Okay. Go.
The guy who's telling them to land the plane or else they're going to be shot down.
Okay. Yes. No. So I know who that is. That's Bill Paxton.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So no, I'm sorry. I'm didn't understand who you were asking me about. Okay, so yes, Bill Paxton, second of three movies that he's in with Arnold, the only one not directed by James Cameron.
That's right. Can you name the other two?
Sure. He was in Terminator. He was one of the punks that gets killed at the end, and he's in True Lies, the like slimy car salesman.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so now
the spy pee himself.
Okay, so who I thought you were talking about was the cop who Radon Chong, she rocket launchers the van while they've got John Matrix in the back, right?
Yes, yes.
The cop that's talking that hits on her in the car.
What's up, baby? Yeah.
Yes, that guy is Matt Landers, and he is the guy from Die Hard who's like sending the RVs. He was also in
the car.
Send in the car.
Send in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
And he was also in Brewster's Millions, and he was also in...
He's the one where they're saying, we're almost in.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Brewster's Millions, sorry.
Yeah. Until you were like, do you know who it is? I was like, I know who it is. And just the light bulb went on there.
How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I do have one little nugget that I want to bring up. I know we're kind of wrapping up cast, but they have this incredible action scene in the mall. Okay. And it's so cool because number one, we get to revisit the mall, which was the place where everybody hung out in the 1980s. And it's fun to see it vibrant and alive again, which they're not anymore, but that was the Sherman Oaks Mall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now Fast Times at Ridgemont High was shot there. Valley Girl was shot there. Night of the Comet, Back to the Future 2, Chopping Mall, Terminator 2.
T2. That's what I knew.
T2. And Innerspace was shot there.
Nice.
So
nice.
I know we love Innerspace.
Yeah, we really do have to cover that at some point.
Chopping Mall. You ever seen Chopping Mall?
No, but it is what they're watching in Stranger Things when they go to the movies. They're watching Chopping Mall.
I love Chopping Mall. Yeah. It's fun. All right, let's talk about tidbits first.
Okay.
Apparently on set, Arnold Schwarzenegger is very protective of Alyssa Milano.
Mm-hmm.
He would work on her homework with her. That's just so cool.
Yeah.
You know? Looking out for her.
Her friends called her Conan after she was in this movie with them.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
There was a love scene that was shot between Schwarzenegger and Radon Chong.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need that in this movie?
Not when you only got 11 hours to accomplish your goal,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Thank you very much.
Let's not do that.
Right.
Some stuff.
Do not even slow down.
You got time to go shopping, but that's all. Okay, so there's a tidbit. That's that was a real place, right? That was one of the very big army surplus stores there in Southern California.
Yes.
I think they had the largest collection of army jeeps or something like that. It was, what was it called? Like something city.
Surplus City?
Surplus City. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It did not have the back room that with all the, you know, secret safe full of
grenades
and machine guns.
Rocket launchers.
Everything. And the instruction manual too, by the way. Did you notice, by the way, I as everybody knows now, I hadn't seen this movie ever before and I just watched it for the first time. But as she's rolling that stuff out, I noticed on her pile of stuff, there was an instruction manual. And I'm like, Chekhov's gun. If that instruction manual doesn't come up here in a second, we got a problem. And sure enough,
she read the manual.
I read the manual.
How did you know how to fire a rocket launcher? I read the instructions.
There you go.
Except she pointed the wrong direction first. Which that scene in the movie theater, I can tell you, killed.
Yeah.
People were laughing their butts off when she shoots a rocket backwards and blows up the, yeah. So fun.
Okay. I got one for you.
Okay.
So I told you, told you guys, I sent him a picture. As soon as that watch came up and it was like 11 hours, click at 10:59:59. I'm like, yes, that watch, Seiko watch called the H558-5000.
Yes.
Also worn by Arnold in the movie Predator. They call the watch the Arnie.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay. I've seen a theory online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That Bennett was in love with Matrix.
His expression when Arnold talks about sticking the knife in him.
You want to stick it in.
It looks a little thirsty. It really does. Oh,
I don't need the gun. I can beat you.
I could stick something in you.
Bennett, stop screwing around and let the girl go. It's me that you want.
I have only one arm. You can beat me.
Come on, Bennett.
I just want to pull a trigger, put the knife in me, and look me in the eye, and see what's going on in there when you turn it. That's what you want to do, right?
I can't leave, John.
Yes, so he can't screw him, so he has to kill him. That's the Radon Chong take on this. Yeah.
Okay. John McTiernan was offered a chance to direct Commando.
Yeah, he was finishing up Nomads, right?
Nomads, which I think is literally one of the worst movies of 1986.
Uh-huh.
But Schwarzenegger saw it, liked it, wanted to hire him. He goes on to do Predator, and then, of course, goes on to do Die Hard. Right. So I don't want to dismiss Nomads, but it is a terrible movie.
Yeah.
But it does give us Predator and Die Hard.
Yeah.
And Rollerball, for that matter.
Okay, so opening scene with Arnold.
Yes.
When he's,
Even D'Souza's house?
No. Okay. No, the one with Arnold.
Yes.
Where you're getting the shots of his muscles and he's cutting down the tree and he's got the chainsaw and all that. It was based on Nazi propaganda films from the 1930s.
Really?
Yep.
I was going to say that kind of started a trend because, I mean, even Stallone does it in Rambo where he's sharpening the knife and you see
the veins pulsing. Yes.
Hey, these guys, we probably need to talk about it.
Yeah. That's something to talk about. The regimen that they went through. Stallone trained for like 8 months, working out 4 hours a day, trained in SWAT commando, trained in survival skills, other combat things. I mean, he really went after this.
He would get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, work out for a couple of hours. I saw Julia Nixon talk about how they would be dancing until 4 a.m. at the Acapulco clubs, and Stallone's getting up in an hour or two to work out.
Yeah.
But, he's real strict with his diet, worked out again in the afternoon. He got cut up for Rambo.
Mm-hmm.
He was down to 6% body fat, and that really drove Schwarzenegger. He was like, I have to be cut like him.
Mm-hmm.
Schwarzenegger said that his body fat percentage is usually around 8%. He said he dropped it to try and match the Rambo physique.
Yeah. Well,
and they both look incredible in this.
So obviously he was pumping iron every day.
Yes.
He also would run 3 to 5 miles every single day.
Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they look amazing.
They do.
So that's all the tidbits I've got on Commando.
All right. So cars in this movie.
Yeah.
Awesome yellow Porsche.
I love it. Right.
And
so he's got a cool car.
He does. And I was looking at what Radon Chong, Cindy's car, it looked like a kind of an old style Porsche. It wasn't. It was a 1960s style Sunbeam Alpine.
Okay.
It's the exact same kind of car that Sean Connery drove as James Bond in the first James Bond movie, Dr. No.
Really?
Not the identical car, but like Sunbeam Alpine, 60s model. That is what he drove for Dr. No.
That is interesting.
Nice, cool car.
Okay. I've got a tidbit for you. Okay. As I understand it, they used real knives in the final fight scene, and Vernon Wells got a little bit close to Arnold Schwarzenegger a couple of times. And when they would cut, Schwarzenegger's like, get that guy away from me.
Oh yeah. He said, you can't give him a real knife.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because Arnold stabbed himself. He had to go to the hospital 3 times for this movie because he was doing his own stunts. Cause who else is big enough to be his stunt double. Right. But he stabbed himself with a knife and had to go get stitches. And the cut you see on his head at the opening scene is a real cut. He had actually hurt himself. Also specially made knives, both for Rambo and for this movie. Guy who made Rambo is a guy named Lyles out of Arkansas, who's known for making knives. I don't remember who the guy is that did it for Commando. But one last tidbit, okay?
Yeah.
So Mark Lester has had a not stellar career,
right? Rex, yeah.
So back in 2011, he meets the head of 20th Century Fox Studios on a flight back from Europe.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want to make Commando 2. Like, let me buy the rights to make Commando 2. Because, I mean, how can you not want to have a Commando 2 after the success of this movie? And it's obviously, I think it's probably gained in popularity in that time period as well, right?
Yeah.
And the 20th Century Fox guy is like, why? And he goes, there's a website that is dedicated to this movie that is filled with fans. There is all kinds of base material where you're just like, this is a franchise that people are ready to dive back into. It needs to be made. Yeah. And like a month later, 20th Century Fox announces a Commando Part 2 that doesn't involve Mark Lester.
What?
I looked it up. It's just been sitting in development hell for the last 14 years.
Bummer.
Yeah. Bummer. Or maybe not. Maybe at this stage, there doesn't need to be a Commando 2 anymore.
Well, that's probably right.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that getting suited and booted in with a 70-year-old Arnold is quite the same.
Right. Okay. Biggest tidbit for me.
Yes.
I got from the cover of the DVD that you let me borrow.
Oh, okay.
Oscar nominated. I was like, what?
Yes.
Rambo First Blood Part 2 is an Oscar nominee for Best Sound Editing.
Best Sound Editing.
Yeah.
It also was nominated for the Golden Raspberry Award for Worst Picture. Okay?
Okay. I'll keep my comments to myself on that.
I got a couple of tidbits for you before we get into Final Judgment.
Here. I can't not say it. Best Sound Editing. His bow and arrow sounded like a .22 rifle going off every time he shot it. What is going on?
What? Gotta have some sound, don't you?
No, that's the point. The whole freaking point.
Oh my gosh. There's so much to talk about, but okay.
Okay.
So here's a couple of tidbits for you before we move into Final Judgment. Okay. Yeah. So Stallone, with the movie The Expendables, which came out in 2010. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That made Stallone the only person in Hollywood to have starred in films that opened top of the box office in 5 consecutive decades.
70s,
80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s.
What do you do in the was Cliffhanger in the 90s?
I mean, Cliffhanger, you got Demolition Man, you got
Tango and Cash too, yeah.
Tango and Cash, I think, was 89, but.
Oh, okay.
You got the Rocky movies, probably Rocky 2 in 79. The 80s, of course.
All the Rockies and the Rambos, you know, and everything.
The 2000s is the tricky one. That's the one I can't quite figure out, but.
Yeah. Okay. The movie, I don't know if you noticed this, but it was dedicated to Cliff Winger Jr. Did you see that?
I did, yeah.
Special effects guy got killed in one of the massive explosions that they had in the movie. Bummer.
Bummer.
Yeah. He had done special effects. He had been doing it for a while, but never know.
You know, just while we're discussing closing credits.
Yeah.
I know we may talk about music here in a second, but the final song of Rambo 2, like the closing credit song, literally may be the worst song in closing credit history.
Yeah, it's... pretty bad for First Blood, too.
It's awful.
So you, just because you brought it up, I'm just going to touch on it. You've got two major composers for these two movies. You've got Jerry Goldsmith for Rambo.
Right.
And he had done First Blood as well.
Yep.
And then you've got
Jamie Horner.
For Commando.
He brought in all the steel drums and stuff, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and I know who wins that matchup in my mind.
Well, let me just say this real quick. The closing song is done by Frank Stallone. When your brother is bugging you, you know, go back and check out Frank Stallone's best hit, Far From Over, from Staying Alive. That's a great song. But yeah, it's just completely terrible.
Right.
All right, D, here's a tidbit for you that blew my mind.
Okay.
Do you remember the video game Akari Warriors?
No.
You don't remember that one?
No.
All right. So there was a 1986 video game called Akari Warriors.
Okay.
That was originally supposed to be a Rambo video game, but they couldn't get the licensing done. I mean, I remember playing it all the time. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
He even has like a bandana, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be a Rambo video game.
Gotcha. Yeah.
All right. Last tidbit for you before we get to Final Judgment.
Yeah.
You know who loved this movie? Loved this movie.
Rambo?
Yeah.
Lots of people.
Well, lots of people.
we're talking about a big number one.
That's true.
Box office success of the year. So lots of people. Who in particular are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of a guy named Ronald Reagan.
He counted on America to be passive. He counted wrong.
Ah, yes.
President of the United States.
He said Rambo is a Republican. I don't know. That was kind of, it's kind of anti-government, anti- You know, do we get to win this one means we didn't win the first one. That's not a very conservative thing to say.
Reagan loved it, though.
Yeah, I can see that.
So,
okay, before we get to Final Judgment, let's talk about the things that might be wrong with these movies.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. You go first.
All right. Well, I do think that Commando has a little overly complicated plot just to get the action going, right?
Yes.
Not only do they try to kill Matrix, but then they try to force him to go assassinate somebody by holding his daughter hostage when they've got a band of killers who are ready to go already.
Right.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Nope.
And then the ridiculousness of the one-man assault force where he's killing tens of guys in a various ways.
Dozens, as they say. Yes.
Dozens, including a saw blade and whacks a guy's arm off, and he grenades people and he rocket launches people.
I will tell you, I'm sitting there watching this in my living room.
Yeah.
Within moments after the guy gets his head shaved off by the circular saw blade,
yes,
and then Arnie chops the guy's arm off, I laughed out. I threw my head back and started laughing at that. I could not. And I was, and genuinely, it was laughter of love. It really was.
Well, I think that's the reaction they want, right?
Yeah. And so do you know that originally they wanted him to hit the guy over the head with his own arm, but they thought that would have been too far.
That would have been funny.
And the line was, need a hand.
Oh my gosh.
This is the first time I've ever seen this movie.
Yeah.
And I am immediately going, I can see the stand that the mannequins are leaning against when these buildings explode. Uh-huh. Like, I mean, come on, guys.
$10 million.
You're spending a lot of money on blowing stuff up. Maybe spend a few dollars on hiding the stand.
Yeah. How about somebody jumping off of a moving airplane from 100 feet up, going 400 miles an hour.
And landing. And not getting completely wet.
you know, minor details.
Right. Hop out of the weeds there.
Yes. Well, and on top, you know, the bad guy literally has him by the, you know what, at the beginning of the movie, like, we got your daughter. You got to cooperate. Mm-hmm. Wrong. Blows his head off. Takes his car that was not running and drives down. Why don't the bad guys just hit the brakes, watch him go by?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Here he comes again.
I know, right?
You know that your brakes work, right? His brakes don't work. Your brakes do work. He's going to hit it. Push on the brake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Killed that beautiful Bronco, too. It's a shame. It wasn't a Bronco. It was a Blazer, I think. It was a Chevy. It was a Blazer.
Whatever it was.
It was very cool.
This thing is awesome.
Yeah.
In fact, that'd be my number one choice. You can keep the Porsche. I'll take the Blazer.
Yeah.
Now, Rambo has problems of its own.
There is one huge problem that I'll probably get into in Final Judgment, but you go ahead.
Okay.
Now, I've already brought up the fact that he's not only has a very, very loud bow and arrow.
Yes.
He specifically says that he's bringing the bow and arrow because it's quiet. Right. Like, if you're going to have a bow and arrow that makes that much noise, don't have a line in the movie that talks about how quiet it is. It's ridiculous.
And he lost all his crap when he was jumping out of the airplane.
Right. Yeah. And what was the point of that? What was the point of him getting stuck and
excitement, tension?
The movie's named after him. I know he's going to live.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
By the way, one of the mercenaries that we didn't even mention, mm-hmm. This is his only acting credit. He never acted again. Pointing the gun at him.
Yeah, yeah.
So my big problem is that I think the movie starts off with a great idea. We're going back to Vietnam.
Sure.
We're getting these POWs out of there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of low-tech versus high-tech at its core.
Okay? Right.
So they're like, hey, we've plugged it in the computer. You're one of only three men who can accomplish this mission. Sounds awesome. What do you want me to do?
Take pictures.
Go take pictures. What? Come on. I've got friends at CCS who could do that. You know?
So telephoto lens.
That's right.
You don't even have to get close.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't even have to get close.
No, you don't. So and then there were no characters that I cared about him rescuing. Like, the POWs had no personalities.
Yeah. So in the James Cameron script, he had fleshed out that, like, he had given personality to those guys so that you bought into, you want him. I mean, not that you don't want him to save those guys, but it's more meaningful when you've got more than just dirty, tortured, skinny guys to save.
I care as much for those characters as I do in the video game Defender when I'm saving the little human beings that are walking along the, that's right.
You have to kill everyone. That's right. In a while.
Land them. Yeah. And then that one dude gets shot in the back at the end and it's like, oh, whoops. Nope. Oh, well.
Okay, all right. So that covers the problems. Yep. Now that leads us right into Final Judgment. You want me to go first?
Why don't I go first?
Okay.
Okay. I don't think there's a whole lot of suspense here, but
okay.
I loved both of these movies. I told you these movies came out when I was 12 years old. They're both rated R.
Yeah.
I saw both in the theater.
Yeah.
Which, that's a special treat for a 12-year-old kid.
You told me on Rambo, and I saw this coming from a mile away, when the guy's shooting at him and then runs away and he's got the arrow, and I'm like, he's not going to shoot him in the back. He's going to turn around. He's going to fire his gun. And that's exactly what happened. And he shoots him with the arrow, and you get this amazing body explosion. You said you stood up on your seat.
I cheered. Freaking loved that. I mean, in my chair as a 12-year-old, I thought this is the great. I told my dad afterwards, that might be my favorite movie of all time.
Wow.
I walked out of the theater blown away at Rambo.
Yeah.
And it was USA, 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 and, you know, rocket launchers, and let's kick the Russians' butt and go get POWs. And at that time, it was a big deal. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, then 6 months later, Commando comes out, and it's so much fun. And there's guys getting blown up and arms hacked off. And, you know, you've also got girls and funny lines and humor mixed in. So, I don't know. At the time, when I walked out of the theater in 1985, I liked Rambo better. But in 2025, Commando is way better. I think Rambo was great at that moment, but it's kind of a mess, and it takes itself too seriously. And Commando is just fun and funny. So anyway, I'm spiking the football for Commando.
Okay. So when I started doing a little bit of research before I actually watched the movies, I remember finding out that Stallone was very important to him that this not be a blood fest for First Blood, right? Despite the title of the movie, and that he wanted to dive deep into the character, make him grounded, make him real. You know, once they cut the movie, cut out all of his lines so that he's, you know, you put yourself in his spot, right? Yeah. And that he tried, even though we were going to have more explosions and more body count, for Rambo, try to do the same thing. Keep him grounded. Keep it like, give him a just cause to go fight for. And you know, and he again has the closing speech, right? You know, just like he did in
What they want.
Yeah.
And every other guy who spilled his, yeah.
So, and then I read, I've seen the movie, and then I read Commando, and they're like, screw that. We want to have lots of explosions, right, and as much gang, you know, as much violence as we can have in this movie. Just screw the story. Let's just have blow crap up and have people die.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to hate Commando. I'm going to hate it. Like, yeah, because it's dumb. You have dumb one-liners and you're going to have dumb explosions. Fine. Right. So then you're so excited for me to watch First Blood and Rambo. You're like, I can't wait to hear what you're going to see.
Yeah.
And I watched both. I watched one right after the other. And in First Blood, I was like, okay, gotta pay attention.
You're killing me.
And then Rambo, I watched it, and you called me after, and you're like, well, and I'm like, you're like, what? And I'm like, I'm having a hard time disappointing my best friend right now.
That's what you said.
But this movie's just stupid. It is just stupid. Like, I'm sorry to all of you guys who watched Rambo when you were 12 or 10 or whatever you were, and you fell in love with it that moment. That's great. I didn't see it back then. I saw it as a 49-year-old man, and it's stupid. Okay. And at that point, when I talked to you, I hadn't watched Commando yet. I say this all of the time. You can't have a good, serious movie unless you have some comic relief in there somewhere. There's got to be some comedy. And there was zero comedy in both of these movies, right? First Blood and Rambo, no comedy at all. And so you have these ridiculous explosions and kills and no humor to go along with it at all.
Right.
Not a bit. And I said to you, I'm like, so I'm kind of just going to look at Commando as it's supposed to be funny. Well, it turns out it was supposed to be funny. You've got the explosions and the kills, but it wasn't taking itself so seriously, which made it fun. You have Arnold giving you these one-liners that are dumb, but they're dumb in a funny kind of way. Like when your friend says something dumb and you're just like, did you just say that? And it's, but you love it. You love it.
Right.
And so I like you. I watched that movie and I'm like, before I even hit the comedy, as soon as I saw the production value. Because what I get at the beginning of Commando is the production value of Die Hard or Beverly Hills Cop, right? You got a good movie-looking movie. What I got with Rambo is this is an hour-and-a-half version of A-Team. Like, that's the production value that I have on this, right? Except you don't have B.A. Baracus getting knocked out in this. There's no comedy. It's just bad production, overly serious, ridiculously stupid premise. It's just, it's not a good movie. Commando is ridiculous, but it knows it's ridiculous, and it dives headfirst into the ridiculousness. And when you got me with that clock, like, we've got a time limit to save the daughter, I'm like, yes, this is what an action movie is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be political.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. So I do think
far and away Commando is the winner. Okay. For me. Yeah,
that's
for sure.
I would say that you missed that moment in time.
Oh, sure.
And that could have impacted your decision if you had seen it in 1985.
Yeah. I don't have any doubt about that.
All right. Well, D let us down. Could you let us down too?
And I'm the biggest Sylvester Stallone fan in the world.
Yeah.
That movie is not good. Not good.
Let us know what you think between these two movies, Commando versus Rambo. Final judgment. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up on Twitter. Send us an email. Check us out on Patreon. Yeah. Where else can they find us? That's it. Instagram.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah.
We're on Instagram as well.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Thank you so much. We will see you. Oh, well, yes. We got to tease up what's coming next week.
What do we got next week, D?
Okay. So next week, we have an epic battle of greatest hits albums. We are comparing Eagles' Greatest Hits Volume 1 with Songs You Know By Heart, Jimmy Buffett's Greatest Hits.
It is going to be amazing.
It is going to be epic. I am super excited because all of these songs have great stories. They're the greatest hits. They're the best of the best. And we get to dive into each one of them track by track. So come check that out with us. It's going to be a love fest. I promise you, I love both of those albums. They've got some people out there that are fans of ours that are not fans of Jimmy Buffett, and we're going to try to move the dial for them a little bit.
They just need to put on their flip-flops, put an umbrella in their drink.
Yeah.
And get with it.
Yep.
All right, guys.
Salt shaker assault. That's what they need.
See you next week.
See ya.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.